our interest in your prayers and your attention this evening. I wonder if there's, you don't have to answer this question, but I wonder how many of us here have ever had a search warrant served on us. I haven't, that I can remember. I think I would. You know, I've heard of situations where people would be stopped for whatever, their tag light being out, or there was one time we were stopped, we were traveling, and when you have a full-size van, and the back is like packed full of clothes and sleeping bags and stuff like that, and all of the seats are pretty well full, and you're out of state, especially if you're going like north or south. And I don't know all of the details that made us suspicious, but we were stopped one time because of a tag light being out. And I was really afraid that that was going to be an excuse to want to search our vehicle. I'm suspicious that they thought we might have been illegal. I'm not sure, but when they stopped and got to checking our driver's license and stuff, they realized, you know, that wasn't the case. But anyway, it's been a number of years ago. Another situation, I had a customer, this has been a long time ago, a customer came in and we was visiting about various things while I was working on their vehicle, and he told me about a time that he was stopped for some, I don't know, it was a routine thing or a minor infraction or whatever, and so he was asked if it was if he was okay with them searching his vehicle. He was out of state in the particular time, and he said, "Yeah, sure, you can search my." But he said, "I'll tell you," he said, "there's a handgun back there, and the state he was in didn't allow transporting a handgun inside the passenger compartment at all. It was in the back seat." And they confiscated his handgun that was like a fairly family heirloom. And we were talking about how the procedure he was having to go through to try to retrieve that. But it had been taken during the search. So I wonder tonight if we... We're not a big enough group to have a committee or something like that, but I wonder how we would feel, all of us here, the different homes that's represented. I wonder if we said, okay, so we're just want to check one another out, you know, so maybe next Sunday afternoon we're just going to make a tour and we're going to stop. We're going to go to each one's house, and we're just going to open the closet doors and look under the beds, and you know, if things look suspicious, we might lift the mattress up and look under the mattress, and you know, we're just going to search each other's house just to kind of keep us all accountable. I wonder what we would think about that. You know. There's been many people down through time that what played out in their lives proved that they wouldn't have been comfortable with someone searching them very close. You know, Adam, when he failed to show at the appointed time when God came to walk with him in the cool of the evening, he wasn't comfortable with somebody searching. And Cain, you know, Cain was the man that took his, the first murderer, took his brother's, own brother's life. You know, he wouldn't have been comfortable with somebody really searching his heart and searching his life. He was harboring some things that he shouldn't have been. He had some baggage that he shouldn't have. Now think about the man that I told you about that had the gun. I don't really think the man had any ill intent or ill will, but you know, there's things that we don't need to be toting along with us if we're professing to be Christians. Whether it's in our hearts or in our lives, maybe we got it hid somewhere. Maybe the family don't know. Sometimes we stumble across things in other people's lives, not necessarily people we go to church with, but we stumble across things in people's lives and we weren't even looking for it. And something shows itself, and it can be a disappointment when things arise. Think about others in the scripture. Don't have these scriptures wrote down, but places, but think about Judas. And we know how Judas ended up. You know, he was harboring something there that any kind of diligent search at all would have showed up. And maybe that's enough that, you know, you can kind of get the feeling there. And you think of old King Saul and the things that he was harboring in his heart and in his life. And we know what came to fruition, because there was something down in there that shouldn't have been there. And, you know, any time that I'm going to be put under the microscope, that's not a pleasant thought. I just want you to know, I don't like the idea of somebody putting a magnifying glass on me, because I know that you're going to find some faults. I'm very human. I don't like that idea. But I do know that it's one of the men in the Bible that I esteem highly, not because he was perfect and not because he didn't make mistakes, but because he made himself vulnerable and I know there's more places, but I want us to look at a couple places in the scripture where David invited the Lord to search him and check him out. And I think it's important for us in our walk with the Lord, in our daily walk, to live, you know, I remember someone else telling me about their acquaintance with Brother Crawley, I believe it was. I didn't know the man. Everyone that I knew that knew him generations ago had high esteem for the man, an humble servant of God. And the report I got was, He would make the comment, the scripture says, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And he would say, mark me, I'm living to all I know and understand. You know, you're putting yourself up for people to kind of cross-examine you when you say that. But I believe that it's a good objective for us in our lives to endeavor to live in such a manner that we can be examined. I'm not suggesting that we all start analyzing one another, you know, with our microscope. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I am suggesting that we live in such a manner And we ask God to examine. You know, if God searches our heart, we're going to pass the test. If we move up where He asks us to move up. So I'd like for us to turn to Psalms, the 26th Psalm. And it says in my Bible, a Psalm of David. And I don't know, the particular occasion for him writing this psalm. It's something that they sang, I'm presuming. He says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." You know, there was another man in the scripture that said, "He knows the way that I take. And when he tried me, I will come forth as gold." You remember who that was? It was a man by the name of Job. And he lived in a manner that he wanted the Lord. He knew that the Lord knew all about him. And he wanted to portray that I'm living to the best I know and understand. I'm living with an attitude of "Search me, O God." He knows the way that I take. I've already invited Him to search me. And when He's tried me, I'm going to come forth as, if there's something that needs to be fixed, I'm going to fix it by the grace of God. And David said here, "For I have walked in mine integrity, I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me." Here he is, opening himself up. "Prove me, try my reins and my heart." Try my heart. Try the very spirit of who I am and my motivations. You know, if those we mentioned earlier that failed, if they had opened themselves up to the Lord to try their hearts, do you think that Cain would have slew Abel? I think he could have overcome whatever it was there. Would Judas have betrayed? I mean, somebody had to betray Jesus, but I believe that Judas could have mended his ways. Could Saul have mended his ways? Yes, I believe he could have. But there was something about that he wasn't willing for God to really search his heart. And if he did feel like he was being searched, he didn't want to do anything about it. Okay? So he says here, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in truth." How does that go together? How does "examine me, O Lord," and "for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes"? How does that cohabitate? Because we all, I would say all of us, have at least a certain level of apprehension about somebody really examining us. I mean, there's just something about somebody really scrutinizing our motives, our ambitions, our possessions, all of those things. It's like, I don't like that. I mean, there's just something about that, every one of us. But David didn't. Apparently, there was something, he'd got to a place that maybe we're not there yet. He says, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked." One of the things that I think David had got to, he had, maybe the Lord had examined him. Maybe the Lord had dealt with him about something that was in his heart, and he was very uncomfortable. But maybe when the Lord dealt with him and had searched him, he realized that God wasn't in this to crush him, but he wanted to help him. Maybe he came to the place that he realized this examination that God had done on him had brought some things to the surface. And when he was willing to address it and face it and conquer it or get it out of his life or whatever it was, then the blessing that came from that and the witness of God's presence in his life was something maybe at that place that he said, examine me, O Lord. I want the end result. I don't necessarily like how I get there, but I like the end result. I would venture to say that all of us here have things that we really enjoy the end result, but getting there wasn't pleasant. And David here, he says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. There's a level of confidence he has, and there is something here that testifies to me that David knew that there was great benefit in the Lord examining him. And I believe that that's good for us today too. I believe that it's profitable for the Lord for us to open ourselves up and say, Lord, examine me. And then the one that I have turned to many times in my experience is over here in Psalms 139. I want to begin reading maybe in verse 17, he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. When the sum is the thing that we know means that things were added together. I'm not old enough to really, I was taught in school that it was addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. But there's an age bracket, maybe most of them are gone now, but when they were in school, they done sums. You know, they done addition. So that's kind of where that term comes from. And he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. How great is the sum of them. So the things that God thinks about us. So if you had to ask yourself, what do you think God thinks of you today? Well, what does he think about what you've got on hands? And David said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. He says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. David here is extolling his desire to be like the Lord. Some people might say, well, it sounds like he was bragging, but I don't really think David had that in his mind or in his heart at this time. And then he goes on and he says, search me, O God, and know my hearts. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, you don't even have to have a search warrant. You know, if I think I'm right on this. If a law enforcement official stops you because your tag light's out and then says, you mind if I search your car? I think you can refuse, right? And if you refuse and they really think they need to, they can get a search warrant and do it anyway, all right? But that's not the way David was operating, was it? You know, I don't want to operate that way with the Lord either. I don't want to operate in the way that, Lord, you know, you're going to have the goods on me or I'm not going to acknowledge anything. I don't want to be that way. Because I want to have an end like David did. I want to have an end like Abraham did. You know, and Abraham is noted in the New Testament as one of the patriarchs of faith, isn't he? Did Abraham do everything right? No, he didn't. He told two different kings that his wife was his sister. And that's wrong. All right? He shouldn't have done that. I don't know why he did that, but he shouldn't have done it. But I believe he made himself available to the Lord to search himself. And he come out being noted in the scripture, not just the history of the world or the history of the county or something, but noted in the scripture as a patriarch of faith. And now we see David here. He didn't say, well, Lord, if you really want to check me out, you're going to have to get a search warrant. He didn't do that. He said, he invited him. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And what's his reason for all of that? He says, lead me in the way everlasting. You know, I want to be led in the way everlasting. I don't want my end to be like Cain. What's his hopes? I don't want my end to be like Judas. After he realized what he had done, he went out and hung himself. Awful way to end his life. I don't want to end my life. I don't want to be hopeless. I don't want to reject the Lord and reject his dealings and reject his desire to be closer to me. I want to have an attitude like David did. I want the Lord, when he comes up and maybe, you know, I've had those situations in my work where people didn't believe what I was telling them. And they want to double check my work, or they want to double check my diagnosis, or and ask me to do things over again, and it's not very pleasant. It's just, you know, I just want to say, trust me, but they don't. So here we go down that path, and it's not a pleasant situation. But I want the Lord to have access and the freedom to search me. And I want to have the attitude of David, where he knew the Lord's thoughts toward him. He knew the end result. He knew the blessing that would come. So my little burden this evening is for each one of us here, no matter how uncomfortable it sounds, and no matter how uncomfortable you think it would feel, and no matter how much fear you have for what might be found, I want to challenge us all, myself included, to adopt the position that David did when he said, search me, O Lord. Sure. You want to look under the back seat? Look under the back seat. You want to check what my cell phone record? You know what the best thing that we can do with our cell phones? Those of us that have smartphones and us men, you know the best thing we can do? Our wife picks up our phone. Don't go scrambling for that thing. let her look it over. If she wants to see who's texted us or who's called us or wants to look at our search history or what, sure, look it over. Lord, help me to live in a manner where if my wife wants to, wants to check my cell phone, sure. Be glad for you to look it over. You want, the Lord wants to look in my heart. The Lord wants to check my attitude, and maybe He wants to give me an attitude adjustment, and maybe I need one. But when He does, did you know it's because He loves us? And He wants us to make it to heaven. You know, the Lord already knows anyway. He don't have to ask permission. He knows what's going up on in our head. But it's the principle of the thing. It's having the attitude of, search me, O Lord. If it feels a little uncomfortable, it's okay. Because I want the end result. I want the blessing. Do I like people to just be snoopy in my life? No. I mean, if I found out that my neighbor was getting up on his roof and he had a telescope and he was watching my back door and watching what I was doing, that would make me feel a little squeamish, probably. But am I doing something that shouldn't be done? You see? I know we all like a level of privacy, and we need some of that. Well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a little privacy, but I'm trying to make the point, and I think you've got it, so I'm going to quit. I'm trying to make the point, Lord, help me to live in a way that I can say, Lord, search me. And tonight, Lord, I want you to search us and see if there's something in me that's not like you'd have it to be. And if it is, that's an opportunity for us to get closer to the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to make the adjustments that's necessary. It's an opportunity for us to blossom into something He wants us to. It's an opportunity for us to be. Wasn't David a valuable tool in the Lord's hands? He was. Wasn't Abraham a valuable instrument for the Lord? He was. And you know, we can be valuable in the Lord's arsenal too. But I believe we're going to have that attitude, Lord, search me. Is there something I need to change? Because I want your blessings. I want your spirit witnessing with my spirit. I want to be clear before you. So I want you to know tonight, that's my desire. And no matter how uncomfortable initially it might make me feel, that's what I want. Because I know that's where real victory comes. And I know that's where real power comes. You think that David only started this later on in his life? I believe he started it as a youth. I believe he did. Because he came up to the situation where old Goliath was, and he said, why are we waiting? What are we waiting on here? There's a cause. And the Lord's blessings was upon him. You know, he had other brothers that was in the military there. They had the same mama and daddy. But they hadn't went out there and took Goliath on. So there's something different. David had a relationship with God. And I want a relationship with God. I like relationships with all of you. And I want you to think well of me and all of that. But Lord, search me. Is there something I need to change? I don't want to get off on my own little rut and own little trail to where... Better not try to go too far there. He's pretty protective, and I don't want to be that way. I want to be open before the Lord. I want to be open before you too, but I want to be open before the Lord. He wants to search me. I want to have that open access. Lord, search me, and I'm willing to change. You pray for me.